Blog Talk Radio.
All right. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. You have tuned in to Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. And once again, we would like to thank you so much, and we're praying that tonight's study will be a blessing to you and to your family. We would like to thank Elder and Lady Oliver, radio engineers. Thank you all so much for this opportunity. All of you that are listening in through Chaos Blog Talk Radio, we want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of our team, our church, from the bottom of our heart. We thank you so much for how you have diligently supported our church for these last few months. And we're just grateful to God. We seem like we've grown into family, definitely spiritually, even though we haven't had an opportunity to meet any of you face to face, but we're just grateful to God for being able to reach you wherever you are. And as always on tonight, we have one of our great teachers, the Sunday school superintendent of our local assembly, Elder Victor Bluett, such an astute and profound teacher, and I know y'all have been blessed by him and through his ministry. He's going to be leading us on tonight after I say a quick prayer. We also have, my wife on tonight, Evangelist Zachary. We also have Lady Evangelist Dove Stanton. She's on tonight. Not sure if her husband is in. I think we also may be missing Elder Taylor. But we're grateful to God for another opportunity, another Tuesday night Bible study. And I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be Elder Victor Bluett. That'll take us on into our Bible study. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you once more and again. We appreciate you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy shown toward us. As we get ready to enter into this study on tonight, we ask that you would anoint the man of the hour that's going to be leading us in this Bible study. Send your anointing that makes teaching easy in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we pray and believe by faith that somebody will be touched, healed, delivered, and set free on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Bluett.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Elder Oliver. Thank you for the platform. I think it was two or three weeks ago I spoke about giving. And I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to read three verses from that last time we were together. But we'll go into a different direction about giving. And one of the verses I want to read before we even get started about giving. See, at that time, it was about giving was from the heart. Giving was because people needed. Giving was proposed by God in love. So I want to read these three scriptures right quick, and then we'll get started. And herein I give my advice. This is Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year. So they had proposed it in their heart to give a year ago. And the next verse, verse 11 out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there is a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. But if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that that he has not. I just want to get that out there about what we talked about two or three weeks ago. We never want to give on a propulsion. We never want to give grudgingly. We never want to give by somebody pushing us to give. We want to give freely what God has placed in our heart to give. Amen. So tonight's study is going to come out of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, right at the front. The book of Genesis at chapter 4. We're going to start at chapter book of Genesis tonight. Chapter 4, and we're going to start right there at verse 1. Right there at verse 1. This is a familiar story to most people. about Cain and Abel. But I want you tonight to kind of not forget what you know, but put that to the side, and let's get some more of what we know to add to store with that, what we already know. So I want you to have a blank mind right now and go along with me. Also tonight, if anybody has any questions, not only from the panel from our church, but anybody that's listening, if you want to text Elder Oliver a question or a comment, I think that would be fine. The more comments we have can lead to a better understanding. So I want to treat this only thing I ask is that we stay on subject. That's all I ask, that we stay on subject. We got some babes in Christ. We got maturity in Christ. We just want to stay in subject so we'll all go in the right direction. Amen? All right. So we're at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And it reads us thus. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And we know what that means. They made love. So we know what that means. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, that name Cain in the Hebrew sounds like the Hebrew verb that means to acquire or to get. To acquire or to get from the Lord. That's what she named, or that's what he named her first son. And verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there's been some disparities about what we think we know about this second verse, and she again bare his brother Abel. Now, before we even get into that, Abel, the name Abel means to empty or vanity. And if you know this story, it's kind of really crazy that she would name him, or the family would name him Abel, meaning vanity, knowing the story and what's going to happen to Abel. So, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. There's nothing wrong with the occupations that these young men had, one being a shepherd and one being a farmer. There's nothing wrong with that. That actually has nothing to even do with the story, as some folks think it does. It has nothing to do with the story whatsoever. God is just stating the occupation of the two, and both of their occupations took care of the family and others, right? And she again bare Abel, his brother. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so folk might say that, well, because he was a shepherd, he knew how to give to God. No, that's not what it's saying. It's just saying that he was a shepherd and his brother was a farmer. So verse 3, and in process of time, as time went by, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, this particular text does not discuss, told them to bring something to him or not. It does not say that. So we're going to take this text for what it is. It could be that they just happened to want to give to the Lord, because the relationship with God at that time was very close, very close. Being the children of Adam and Eve, right? And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, in the book of Leviticus, God accepted offerings and grain offerings. So now, and right now, we still don't see a problem, right? We don't see a problem why Cain would get mad at his brother Abel.
That's
we still
good.
Don't see a
That's
problem.
Good.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, that's not saying that he brought a better gift. That's not saying that. It's just saying what they brought. That's all it's saying. Now, this in this context, in Genesis in chapter 4, it does not say why God had respect unto Abel. But I'll tell you that in another verse. Any questions so far? Pastor, you good? Evangelist, Doug, you good?
Sounds good, bro.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So in verse 4, and then I'll tell you why on the next verse. And Abel, he also brought of the first thing of his flock and of fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And it does not say why. But what we know from Scripture is that if you brought a lamb unblemished within a year old, that's what God wanted. That's not what this is saying. And I know we want to believe that and run with that, but that's not what it's saying in this context. But we want to know why Abel's gift was better. We'll look at, let's look at Hebrews. I got it right here. I know you ain't going to go to it right quick, but I got it right here. Hebrews chapter 11, where it testifies about Abel's gift. Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was God testifying of his gift by it being dead yet speaking. All right? So God right now is dealing with the person and not the gift. He's dealing with the person and not the gift. So keep that in mind as we go on. He's dealing with the person and not the gift. And a couple, two or three weeks ago, we was talking about giving. It's about what you proposed in your heart, the person, and when you give. Not what you give, but what you give from out of your heart. God is right now speaking about the heart, the person, beauty of the person, who that person is and what he does. And Abel, he also brought of the first thing of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And verse 5 of Genesis 4, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now, there's an argument here, and it's been going on for years, of these writings, of this context, speaking of the person that's giving, not what the person has gave, but what the who's the person that's bringing it to the altar or bringing it to the Lord or bringing it to the altar of your church, right? Or bringing it to a friend or bringing it to somebody that's in need. What is in you and your giving? See, some people can see through us. Some people can see our countenance. Some people can see how we're approaching and what we're giving, expecting to receive, right? But Cain did it out of faith. Cain did it out of faith. He came to God in faith. Cain and his offering, I'm sorry, Abel did, in verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And right now, he was so mad that it showed in his face or probably his body language. It showed.
That's right.
Right now,
we're
looking at the root of bitterness right now.
Yeah.
So if I knock on my pastor's door and say, here, I give this to you and your family, blah, 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 blah. And if he don't accept it, you know, as Cain did, I could be wrong. Because I proposed
right.
in my mind to give, but I didn't propose in my heart to give, see?
That's good.
Cain, in verse 5, and unto his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. And his countenance fell. Now, this starts the beginning of the downfall of Cain. This starts the beginning of one of us when we're wroth, when we're upset, when we're throwing a temper tantrum, when we're mad at somebody. That's the beginning of your fall right there. That's the
right.
beginning of your fall right there. That's when the root of bitterness starts to harbinate in your body, starts to harbinate in your heart. We got to be careful how we react to doing things. We have to be careful how we react to doing things. So verse 6, and the Lord said, James, why art thou wroth? And why is thy confidence fallen? God's something else. He is saying, he's not going to just cut you loose. See? God wants us to confess what the problem is. He wants us to talk to him daily if we have issues. Not just when things fail, but even when things are not going well, even when they're not going well, he wants to hear from us that whole time. Right? And the Lord said unto him, why art thou wroth? Why are you mad? Why is that countenance falling? Why are you even looking mad? Why are you throwing a temper tantrum? See? And this is looking in relationship too. How God has a personal relationship with Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Relationship developed where we can have that conversation with God throughout the day, where we can hear God just show up. We can hear his voice walking in the garden. That's how we ought to be. God is talking to them just like they was right there, like he's just right there with them. And we ought to have that in our lives even now, where we can have, where God can point out our issues personally. And he does that daily right now. He points out our issues daily. Our complaints are had, anything that we're going through, he talks to us. But the problem is, whatever's in our heart that we can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
You good, Pastor? You good, Evangelist?
Yeah, man. We're enjoying this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at the other side of giving grudgingly. We're looking at the other side of giving from the heart. We're looking at the other side of you see somebody else doing well and you mad because you not. See, and God is finna deal with Cain because of that. God is finna correct Cain because of that. God is personally dealing with this situation to try to change his mind so that he will not be separated from God. And we'll see how this happens. So in verse 6 of Genesis 4, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, if thou doest well. Now, see, here's God with his great mercy. Here is God the teacher. Here is God the counselor. Here is God knowing how to get you to repent, or to get you to change your mind, or to get you to change your ways, or to get you to think about or consider your ways and what you're doing right now. Consider your ways, meaning your own ways, not nobody else's, but considering your ways is your own way. And the Lord said, okay, why is that wrong? And why is that confidence falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you do the right thing, it's okay, son. It's okay, daughter.
Yeah.
God is point blank telling this man, if you do well, if thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
This way? All right, I want you to come back at me again, and then you'll be accepted. Plainly put, you do it right the first time. If you do it right the second time, the third time, the fourth time, or however many chances God gives us on a daily basis, his grace and his mercy is being extended right here in verse 7.
Yes.
Right here in verse
7. Yes.
Sir, go, come on, sir. I know you got something.
Oh, I'm just agreeing with you, Doc.
Okay. All right. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
How close have we sinned
because we didn't do right? How much of God's grace has put between us and sin? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin is waiting on each and every one of us, I promise you.
Yes.
It's waiting on us. And I'm going to tell you this, the little subtle things we do that are not right, even though they're subtle, as it's still as if you killed a man or a woman.
Yeah.
There's no little sins. There's no little sins. Sin is sin. And God is trying
right.
to teach this young. God is trying to teach this young man. If you do well, you'll be accepted. In other words,
mm-hmm.
God has given him space to do it again. Space.
Yes.
To space to
yes.
confess. Yes. He's opened the door, came to confess. And some of us get so mad, like he's wroth and his countenance has fallen. He's so pissed off that it's showing on the outside.
Yeah.
Right now, he is so mad that he can't confess he's wrong. He is so
wow.
mad that he can't turn the corner. He can't change direction right now.
Mm.
I know plenty of people, they get mad, it's over. It's done. It takes them a day or two or a week to come down off of that.
Yeah.
I know folks just like that. I mean, you see them on Saturday, they get upset. You see them next Saturday, their countenance, their appearance is still falling.
And that's the truth.
And unto thee shall be thy design. And thou shalt. God is saying, if you don't repent, if you don't change your ways, if you don't allow me to create a clean heart in you
yeah.
and renew a spirit in you, if you don't let go of this anger, sin is waiting on you. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, you need to conquer this right now.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good.
You need to conquer this right now. You need to, you need to turn the other cheek. We need not worry about what other folks are doing unless we can watch it and do better. But if we don't give up what's in our heart that's killing us daily on a daily basis, from anger, wrath, being mad, that can kill your body.
Yes.
That can deteriorate your body.
Sure can. Amen.
That can deteriorate you. You got something better to say?
This is really good, Elder. I think what's kind of standing out to me right now is faith. When you brought up the scripture, chapter 11, and how he gave out of his faith. And it just reminded me when I talked about the condition of the heart, you know, rendering it to God. And it reminded me of the widow woman who gave the two mites. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, people were giving into the offering lots of money, and she brought her two mites, which, you know, probably was small to everybody, but she gave out of her heart.
Come on,
She gave out of her faith. She gave, you know, it may not have been as much as everybody else gave, but she gave what she could give out of her heart. And this is good because it's just reminding me of that, you know, that when we give, not just financially, when we give forgiveness, let's give it out of our hearts. When we give love, let's not be that sounding brass, just noise, but we truly do love from our heart. That's a form of giving. God has called us love. So thank you, Elder, for this lesson tonight, but that's all I have to say. It's good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for that. That's good. Good. That's good. So verse 7, we're going to 8. And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. In other words, that's his way out right there. And if thou doest not, sin lieth at the door. All right? And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. All right? So Cain has thrown a temper tantrum. He has so mad that it's seen, right? And so verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel. Now, we're still talking about giving. And if you don't give right, these are the consequences, right? If you don't give right, these are the consequences. And I like, Evangelist, saying how you mentioned the woman and the two mice when Jesus was overlooking in the treasury and saw what she gave, and she gave all that she had, having faith that God was able to give back or to bless her in her needs. If you believe in God like you say you do, you'll give all you got, believing in God will return it 10 times over. But
watch
who
it,
else
watch
was
it.
Looking in the treasury that the woman give also?
Yeah. That's right.
Cain
right.
watched his brother give, and God accepted Abel's gift. Now Cain's pissed off. And I hope y'all not offended by that word pissed off, but y'all know what I mean, pissed off.
Right.
I'm sorry, I must have dropped off. You guys hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So those of us,
Okay, you good?
If you're just joining me in Genesis 4, if you're just joining me in Genesis 4, we're talking about giving, the results of true giving, and the results of falsely giving. We're in Genesis chapter 4 with verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, this is crazy right here. How can you be so mad? How can you be jealous? How can you be so angry to kill your brother or anybody for that matter because they appear to be have done something better than you, right? So I'm going to answer that question. It's because we let the anger build up. We let the bitterness build up. We let the jealousy build up, right? And we let whatever's not God build up, right? And this is what happens when we hold that anger. Sin lies around at the door. Sin is around the corner. Sin is waiting on each and every one of us. So if we harbor in anger, jealousy, envy, and all of that, sin loves it because that's not of God. That's part of Satan. That's part of the devil. That's his playground. That's what sin. That's what he plays with. That's what he plays with. So if you got all the balls and the baseball bats and the footballs, meaning jealousy, anger, envy, bitterness, those are the basketballs, the baseballs, the footballs, and the golf. That's what the devil plays with, right? And you'll never win against the devil unless you got a relationship with God. And in verse 7, talking about God trying to reestablish a relationship with Cain by asking him the question, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God is trying to reestablish the relationship, right? So verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. How do you murder somebody behind jealousy and anger? How do you do that?
Wow. That's good.
How do you do that? That's because that's because of sin. It's not of God. It's not a attribute of God. You good, Pastor?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm sitting here just eating, bro. Keep going.
All right.
Elder, I do got something I would like to say. You have posed the question. You just posed a question, how can you murder somebody behind sin or our anger? And
we may not, but we make vows against people. We a lot of
them.
We make a vow, I'm never going to talk to them again, or I'm never going to allow them to do this to me ever again. With love, there is a risk. So, walking around the curb, I would never allow them to hurt me again. And we haven't forgiven them. So, to us, they're dead. So, we're doing the same thing that they did by not forgiving. Because now we must come out of our lives. And yes, everybody's not supposed to be in life, but you still have got to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that even with our mouth. We murder and we kill people with our mouth, too.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Hey, you got something? All right. That was good. That's good. You are absolutely 100% correct. Even if we're not physically doing it, we're still doing it with our mind and our speech. Amen. So verse 8, and we get verse 9. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? See, God is still dealing with Cain. God has not given up on Cain. But some of us would have walked away by now. You know, sometimes when we see a brother or sister coming, we know they ain't about nothing. We know they're going to start stuff. You know, we turn our backs. I don't turn my back. Baby, I'm right here. Come on. I'm almost here. Matter of fact, stay right there. I'm going to come meet you. But we turn our backs. But God has not yet turned his back on Cain. He has warned him what's going to happen to him if he continues to harbor the anger and the jealousy and of what Cain did better than him, or how Cain approached God in his giving to God by faith. That's what made his offering more excellent. And God was talking to the person, Abel and Cain, not the gifts they gave, person. And we have to be careful how we give. It has to be in a person that's Christ-like. It has to be of a purity of our heart that we want to help somebody truly, not looking for anything
right.
in return. Have you ever gave
That's
anything
right.
to anybody at a stoplight that had a sign that said, I'm homeless, knowing you're not going to get it in return? And what do you give? If you got a pocket of 20s, why give them a dollar? Don't worry about what that man or that woman is going to do with the money. By you giving out of your heart purely, can convince them or convict them to do something better if they was going to do something wrong. But it's not up to what the money going to do on the backside. It's what we do in giving that can make that money do what it's, we had prayed for it to do, or what we meant for it to do. So giving in church, give from the heart. Don't give bitterly.
Amen.
And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? A direct question. And we know we didn't heard this question before or similar question before to his mother and his father in the Garden of Eden. See, God is that close. The relationship is so tight that God is talking to them personally. And Cain, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And of course, God knew where he was. God knew what had happened. But God wants us to confess. God wants us to change our mind, change our hearts. He wants us to talk to him. And God is still trying to talk it out with Cain. But because of the bitterness and the envy and the anger that this young man has, he can't seem to turn the corner. He can't seem to repent. That's a bad way to be. That's a bad position to be in, even when you're dealing directly with God. That's a bad place to be in. You're so upset and you're so mad that you can't have a sensible conversation with your husband or your wife because you got mad. You know how much sin is waiting around the corner for couples that are truly in love, but when they argue, sin is waiting. Do you know? When one or the other holds a grudge for a week, 2 days, 3 days. My wife gets mad at me now because I'm happy right after we talk. I don't have time for it. And even though she's my wife, and she may even be listening, I don't have time for it. Life is short. If you really think about your life and the years you have been graced to live, you don't know if you got any more left. You don't know. But by the grace of God, he wakes us up every morning. Why should we hold bitterness overnight? Why should we hold anger overnight? I don't want to be in a state of mind where I got to stand before God because Jesus has come back and I was went to sleep with anger and bitterness in my heart. Is my answer. It's only my conviction at that point.
Amen.
In verse 9 of Genesis 4. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to take care of him? You know, Cain is the older brother. See how he's talking to God? Why is he even talking to God that way? Because of the anger.
Yeah.
Because what's in him that's not like God. And we think we can talk to God in any kind of way when we get mad. When we get pissed off.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and we in church every Sunday or Tuesday or whatnot, Saturday night. We with the congregation all the time. But you let some folks get mad. See, and sometimes when we're at the church, we at church in body, but not in spirit.
Uh-oh, watch it now.
In body, but not in spirit. So the first thing somebody say to us that's wrong, we automatically bring out the spirit that is in us, which is not God. See? Some of us just waiting like a cocked gun. You pull the hammer back on the gun, just waiting for somebody to say something. You're living in bitterness.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're living in bitterness. You anticipate fault when you ought to be anticipating something that's going to lift somebody up, if not even yourself. Stop waiting.
Amen.
What's somebody going to say negative? Because I bet you're going to hear it. And that's the way the
right.
devil works. He's tricking you. You're already playing ball with him right now because of the anger you have in your heart. You're already playing ball with him right now. See, the devil don't play for fun. He plays for keeps.
Yes. Yes.
See? If you're a grown man, be a grown man. If you're a grown woman, be a grown woman. There's a lot of folk that ain't out here playing. And the devil is the king. He's the king of this world. He's the prince of this world right now. We're on his turf. We're on his turf. So verse 10, and he says, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. This... And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried to me from the ground. And now art thou cursed. Now see, this is God. God didn't gave up now. God gave us a chance. As he does with us every day, he gives us a chance to have a conversation with him, to listen to what we need to do from him, and then we need to start doing what they do. God didn't gave up right now. God is done with Cain right now. This is a factual. This context is factual. And he said, what hast thou done? Thy voice, the voice of thy brother's blood, crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. See, this is the third curse. It's the beginning. The first curse was to the serpent. The second curse was to the ground. Now this curse is to the first human. And it's also the first murder. So these are all first going from the beginning. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy... What is his job? What's his occupation? He's a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
What,
yep.
Where was his wealth? In the earth.
In the ground.
That's right.
In the ground.
Yep.
In the ground. See how God knows how to take away from us that we
yep.
thought that benefits us.
That's right.
And that the things that we the things that we're not giving back to God, the things that we're not bringing in sacrifice to God, the things that we're not thanking God for, we do these things daily with the things He has placed in our life. God knows how to take them out of your life. He knows how to ruin your livelihood. See?
Right.
He knows how to do it. Why? Because He gave it to you for your reaction of it. See? God just don't give us things just to give us things. But He gives us the things that He does for a thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing me. But when we have this thing called anger and bitterness in us, because we didn't give back properly to God, God knows how to take that thing away from you and give it to somebody else that's going to appreciate what God does for them. So, in verse 11, and we'll be done in a minute. I wanted to go to 16. I don't even know if we're going to get there. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand, when thou tillest the ground. Now, this was his livelihood in verse 12. This is what brought him in the money. This is what provided food for not only him, his brother, but his mother and his father and whoever else was around. We know there were some folk there. We won't go there right now. When thou tillest the ground, in verse 12 of Genesis 4, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. You won't be able to eat, but you won't get rich. You won't be able to eat, but you're not going to be able to do anything else beyond that.
That's good.
She's not going to give to you. Yeah, I'll put a roof over your head. And you didn't say thank you. Now you got plumbing problems. You got appliance problems. You got leak problems. You got air,
yeah.
AC and heating problems. The thing that God has given us, if we don't thank God for it from our heart and appreciate the thing that He has placed in our life, yeah, you may still have it, but you might not have it all. And you may have issues.
Right.
See? So what he's going to have to do is fight the ground for a morsel of bread now. When at first the ground was given him 100-fold. But because
mm-hmm.
of the bitterness and the wrath and not giving properly to God and killing, and in that has killed his brother because of what he let build up in him.
Right.
His relationship
right.
is getting separated to where he don't have intimacy for God anymore. When you can blank God out of your life and out of your mind, you have anything. That's a person you got to be scared of. That's a person that don't care.
Amen.
Anybody got?
You know what? I'm so enjoying this. This might be the only thing I just say on the night, man. Doc, you're doing a great job. I can't help but notice, you know, Evangelist Stanton talked last week, I think it was, about sowing the word, stony ground and good ground
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And then
mm-hmm.
tonight you're coming and on another, I'm seeing some of the same things as last week. How a seed of sin, a seed of bitterness, a seed, sowing a seed of jealousy grows also. Now, we know the scripture also says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that goes with good and evil. Just as we can get paid, or we do get paid for doing righteousness, there is a payment for sin.
Yes, sir.
For scripture also teaches that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So on another, from what Evangelist Stanton taught last week, I think it was, now Elder Blewett, you're teaching this tonight, I'm seeing that sin also can take root in our hearts and in our minds, and if we don't deal with it and hit it head on, it matures and it grows, and we can go from just not speaking to a person to now we're talking about the person, now we're running the person down, now if we even hear that person's name, we get disgusted because that seed has now gripped our heart, and now we can't even see clearly because of that growth, that sinful growth that has been planted in us. So, I mean, man, this is good tonight. I also thought, and I'll be quiet, I'll be through. I thought about when you were saying, teaching about, expounding on us giving, I thought about our church, the 11 years that we've been in the natural as a fellowship. We've never had to run any schemes or, you know, do any tricks or, you know, when it came down to giving, we've always been able to let people know, hey, this is what the church needs. This is what we're trying to do. We don't have no, you know, we don't have to pump you to give. Let's just do it from our heart. And by doing it that way, God has met every need that our church has ever, everything that we've needed, God has supplied all our need according to his riches and glory. So I'm enjoying this tonight, bro. So I'll be quiet. Great, great job tonight.
Good comment.
Amen.
Good comment.
Amen. Elder, I do have a quick comment also. You were saying that, you know, we can't be thankful because we have that anger. And it made me think about, you have to rehearse over and over and over again in your mind that thing that you were angry about. You literally have to feed it and give it water. And so, like you said, when you see that person, you begin to rehearse it again in your mind. Well, the Word of God tells us to cast all our cares upon the Lord. So we're supposed to throw that thing from us so that we won't continue to rehearse it over and over. That's why we can't be thankful to God, because we're not thinking about the goodness that God is doing. We're rehearsing in our mind the hurt or the anger that we got from that individual, so we go to bed with it. We wake up with it. We walk around all day with it. We answer the phone with it. You know, we can't even get to our word because we're rehearsing it so much in our minds that we can't even get to the Word of God. So we just continue to feed and allow that to take root and grow deeper roots inside of us. To the point,
that's true.
Once again, we have killed the person because now we've fed it all of that. We have got to learn how to renew our minds each and every day.
We have got
to renew our minds, and we have got to give that anger, that hurt, that pain to God and say, God, teach me how to forgive. Teach me how to love unconditionally, just as you love me with my mess. Thank you, Elder, for this reflection tonight.
Yes.
Absolutely, 100% correct. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the come on now. So it's nothing wrong with being angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. We're going to get angry at certain situations or certain people, but let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See, we can't harbor that, like you were saying, Evangelist. We can't let that thing cultivate in us. We can't let it take root and start growing. Well, we harbor the anger that's growing in us from the bad seed, and that we don't have a relationship, and we're at the same time, we're cutting our relationship off with God. At the same time. And we're going to see the cutoff right now. So verse 12 and 13 of Genesis 4. When thou tillest the ground, and this is all by the way of how somebody gave. We're talking about giving. How you gave. What was in you when you gave. So this 12 and 13 of Genesis 4. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. In other words, your livelihood is gone. You can till the ground for something to eat. I'm not going to take that away from you. But it's going to be so bad for you where you are now and where you have allowed yourself to be at this place in your life that you're going to start wondering. You're going to start walking away from what you had and leave it for another that will appreciate what you gave up by the sin you committed. So God is saying, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. A fugitive meaning you got to leave your family. You got to leave what's familiar to you. That means vagabond is when you live here, there, and everywhere. There is no more planting of your soul. There is no more planting of your mind and your heart. You gave that up to sin that was lying at the door. You gave that up. You gave up your freedom because you would not give up the anger. And see, when we're saved by Jesus Christ, when he is our personal Savior, we have an abundant life, free of sin. We have a life that steadfasts us into the place where we accepted him in our life. Now your home is blessed. Now your cars are blessed. Your children are blessed. Your wife, your husband are blessed. People around you get blessed because of you, because your heart is right in giving. Giving. You know, if we stored up everything God ever gave us from the day of birth, we wouldn't have room for it. And there's a scripture for that. I can't remember where it was, for the man who was just getting so much, he built another barn and another barn and another barn to hold all of this. And then one night God said, your life is required. Why? Because you wasn't doing with what I gave you with. You wasn't blessing nobody. You was keeping it all for yourself. Tonight, I want to tell you, we have to give to empty ourselves, to give. God gave his all. We can't give some. We have to give. There are many blessings waiting for us. And I'm not saying to give to receive a blessing. No, I'm saying just give. And God will replenish you. He will replenish you. Because he knows you know how to give now.
Right.
You ain't got to give everything away to be homeless. But you can give to help somebody not be homeless. So, God is just about done with Cain. Now he's cursing Cain. So in verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now he ain't doing it but thinking about himself right now. He still ain't repenting. He's selfish now. He was bitter. He was wroth. He was angry. And he was so mad that he killed his brother. Now he's being selfish. Don't all them things go with the devil? Ain't none of that of what he feels is of God.
Yes.
And the attributes of the devil ain't going to do nothing but keep building and keep building to the day you die if you don't release that anger to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with turning around and coming to God at any point that you got breath in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you lived a life of sin for 40,000 years, if you still got breath, and you ask for God to come into your heart, if you confess the name Jesus Christ, all can be forgiven. You, Cain would not do it. A perfect example of somebody that's going against the will of God and is written in the Bible. Everybody don't turn back to God, but it's God is teaching us what can happen to you if you don't return back to him. So Cain, in verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my sin is greater than I can bear. What about Abel, your brother, you killed? See how selfish that
is? Yeah.
He's not thinking. So when you ain't in your right mind, you don't think right.
Right.
When we get we want to go to the car and go somewhere, we want to drink, we want to smoke, we want to do something that's rational.
Yep.
Ain't trouble. Sit down and consider your ways. And like Evangelist said, she said, just think about it. God has given us enough intelligence to know things are going to go a certain way if we stay on the same path that we on. He has given us that wisdom. So, verse 14, and we're almost done. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Now, you know, it's remarkable to me. And I've read this story probably thousands of times. But it's remarkable to me how he complained. It's remarkable to me how he complained.
Yeah.
See, it's remarkable to me how he's complaining. It's remarkable. Almost sound like somebody that's in charge of the country. Almost. If not worse. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be. So now here's the separation of the relationship that him and God had. Right?
Yeah.
Now, keep reading this. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Now, here's what's important about this and what this is actually saying in this context. He doesn't have a right relationship with God anymore. He has heard God curse him. He has heard God say he's going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. Now he don't trust nobody. So everybody he run across now going to kill him. See, and just put it this way. A woman that's scorned, a woman that's been done bad by her husband or her boyfriend or some man, that woman may not trust another man the rest of her life.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Because his broken relationship with God that he doesn't have anymore, the relationship he had with his brother that he murdered, and the relationship that's in the future are not going to even work out for him. And this is by his own words. Anybody that see me is going to slay me, or everybody that see me is going to slay me or kill me. So here go God. But thou hast 14 and 15. But thou, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face I shall be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. So he's not even in his mind before he even takes this walk to wander in the land. He can't even see himself having a relationship with anybody. And that's the thing the devil wants. He don't want you to have a right relationship with nobody. He wants you to stay on the path that he made for you. When he opened the door, he had already prepared your path. Sin lieth at the door. So when he opened that door, it's already there for you. If you stay in the same corrupt mind that you're in, you'll walk that path. So verse 15 and then 16, and we're done. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever, now here's the grace and mercy of God. Here's the grace and mercy of God. And we know in the beginning that God tried to get him to confess, ask him a series of questions, to confess his faults, to confess his sin, gave him a chance to do right. If you do right, it'll go well. Gave him a chance to do it all over again, to bring another offering to the altar. He gave him another chance to get out of the pew seat and walk around to the altar and give a little bit more, because God had already blessed you with $1,000 just today, and you still giving $1 you gave of last week when you only had $5. See? So God has given him a chance to do all that over. But because of the impurity of his heart, because of the anger and the bitterness and the seed of the devil that has cultivated in his body, that's straining the wisdom out of his mind, that's straining the considerate ways, constraining. You know, some people just can't even think right when their mind is not right. Some people can't think right. Some people can't think right. This man is complaining about what he's going to be doing now, complaining that he's going to be a vagabond, that he's going to be a fugitive, that he's going to be wandering away from his family and his friends, that he's going to be walking the earth now, and that whoever sees him is going to kill him. Ain't that funny how he just killed the brother? So verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. It's going to be worse for that person whoever slays Cain. And the Lord said, set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, ain't that the grace of God? Now, you a murderer, you a thief, you a homemonger, you a sinner, and God still got grace and mercy for you. But he didn't have it for his brother.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
He didn't have it for his brother. Where does that place our mindset now? Because I'm sure all of us can think of somebody we haven't forgiven. I know we can think of somebody we done did wrong. We just ain't ran across them since then. And you think it's over. You think it's done. God has everything written in a book. And it's not that he just wanted to show you that he knew. See?
Yes, sir.
When Jesus shall appear, when he break that sky, when we got to stand before the Lord, the book's going to be open. There's going to be a book that you're going to be saved, the book of life. Then there's going to be another book where the sins are written.
Yeah.
Black and white. All right? And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. Now, it don't say what kind of mark, but it had to, in this context, had to be a visual mark that people would see it.
Right. Right.
And the Lord mark upon Cain, finding him, should kill him. So that mark is going to protect him. That mark is going to make him stand out. We don't know what the mark is, but it had to be a visible mark that God put on Cain. In the last verse, and we'll be done, verse 16 of Genesis 4, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Oh, see, that,
that's good.
It's so written right. It is written right. He's cursed of the Lord now. So reading that again, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Ain't that funny? You can be even in the presence of God and still sin. How could you form your mind to do it?
Yeah.
And here we are praying to God every day, trying to talk to God every day, and trying to build a better relationship with God every day. And at this time, in the period of time, God walked with them. What are we doing to God now? And dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. See, they were in Eden. Remember that, right? They had to get out of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Or Eden. So we're done. Anybody got anything before we wrap up? I give it to you. Just talking about giving tonight. We can see that on a couple two or three weeks ago, we can see the benefit of giving, even as a community or as a giving. And this week, we see how not to give. We see how not to give. See, we have to give from the heart.
That's right.
We have to give by. See, if you only have a dollar to give, that dollar can constitute $100 in the hands of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever we give from the heart. And I'm not teaching this that somebody empty their pockets for our church. I'm teaching this. You can give to anybody. Whatever you give, money, you give merchandise, whatever you give from the heart.
Right.
Give from the heart. Not expecting a return. Watch God bless you. Watch He bless you good. And most times those blessings, when He do bless you from giving, you know why He bless you. See?
Mm.
That comes with maturity. y'all want to wrap it up, Evangelist Stanton, then we'll give it to Pastor. If you got anything else you want to say, First Lady, you got anything you want to say, y'all come on now.
Great teaching.
Amen.
Wow, great job, Elder. Evangelist Stanton, before we close out, as Elder Bluette just said, we didn't schedule him to teach this tonight, so we don't, you know, he didn't teach this to try to raise money for the church, but we would like to give y'all, ask Evangelist Stanton, if you would give the church information for anyone that God may have touched their heart for tonight, and then the members. I know we have several members that are listening in that just may want the information. No doubt they should already have it, but just in case they don't, Evangelist Stanton, would you give the offering information for the people on tonight?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. We are so glad that you all joined us on tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. And if you would like to give, whether it be $1, $10, $5, $1,000, whatever is laid in your heart to give, there's two ways you can give on tonight. Our first way is by Cash App. Our Cash App is MoneyTime, TTC877. Once again, that is MoneyTime, P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by credit card, debit card, or PayPal. And our office telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. Thank you so much. And, Pastor, I turn it back over to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, my sister. Once again, beloved, this has been Praise Tabernacle Church's Tuesday night Bible study, and we would like to thank Elder Victor Bluette Sr. Once again, another great lesson taught on tonight. Also want to thank Evangelist Dove Stanton for being on, and my precious wife, Lady Zachary, thank her for being on tonight. Also, once again, we want to thank Elder and Lady Oliver, and the Chaos Blog Talk Radio, all the sponsors. Thank y'all so much for supporting us and for being a part of our ministry. We love you. Praise Tabernacle, once again, thank you so much, and all of those that are listening in. Listen, my brothers and sisters, meet us back on Friday night. Those that are listening through the radio, meet us back Friday night at 7 o'clock. We'll also be live on our Facebook page on Friday night at 7 o'clock with Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries. Go ahead on and prepare yourself. Call a friend, tell a neighbor, even invite an enemy to tune in to Friday night service. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. And God is going to be present with us. And we just thank him and we honor you. We thank God for allowing us to fellowship with you on tonight. Now we're going to get ready to give the benediction, and we pray and we bid you Godspeed. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you once again for this Tuesday night Bible study. We thank you for such an awesome word, a taught, anointed word on tonight given to us by Elder Bluette. And God, we pray that you will continue to strengthen your people. Let someone be healed, delivered, and set free on tonight. We come against every root of bitterness, every jealous spirit, God, every demonic spirit that attacks our hearts and attacks our mind. God, we pray that you will clean us out and purify us through your anointing, through your Holy Ghost. And as always, before we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you, and we love you. Have a great night. Take me.